Hello, everybody. I'm Tina Van Leuven, your Practical Joy Alchemist and your host for the Joy Evolution Summit, where we have the pleasure of interacting with the most amazing joy beacons from all around the world. And today, I am really excited to be introducing you to the gorgeous Jennifer Zwiebel, who is the chief visionary of A Place of Joy. Founder and chief visionary of A Place of Joy, she's a holistic business consultant, and she supports the evolution of her clients' businesses and their most authentic, joyous selves. Jennifer works with accomplished entrepreneurs to map out the tactical, practical steps that will get their fabulous ideas out of their heads and into the world where they belong. She partners with them to develop programs, products, books, workshops, compelling ways to share their magic and other tangible, creative, and fun expressions of their genius so they can make money and love what they do. She guides her clients through a unique vision maker system, allowing them to process challenges quickly and uncover solutions so they can make conscious choices and take aligned action to bring their visions to life. Jennifer is also an author, coach, and speaker. And today we're going to be talking about Jennifer's journey to joy and how to craft your life from a place of joy. Welcome, Jennifer. I'm so excited to be here
with you. I am so excited that we got magically connected and that we get to play now for a good chunk of time.
Yes, I know, right? Definitely one of those divine appointments. I love it how we're all coming together.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. So one of the things that we really would like to share with our audience is really through all the different juicy stories from all these amazing joy beacons, including you, is what does it look like? What does it mean to embody joy? So not just to think about joy, know about joy, but to actually embody it and really live it. Would you mind sharing with us what that journey has been like for you?
So I think for me, I had a sort of a half and half journey, meaning I think I half very naturally and organically am filled with a certain level of ebullience, excitement, and joy at things that are very simple or things that are just simply awe me. Like, I am just awed by human beings. And I think that's just an organic part of who I am. That's piece one. But piece two is the person, the other part of who I am, who grew up in the world and was given beliefs and stories and things to live up to and expectations and judgments, as we all are. That person has worked for many years to uncover the things that have been laid on her, to sort of unearth a more natural way of being in the world and loving and accepting herself, talking about myself in the third person. But, that's been a long journey. And so these little spikes of joy and celebration, like when I'm watching dance, it was one of those dancing shows, not Dancing with the Stars, but the Oh, So You Think You Can Dance. Mm-hmm. Like, these are real, regular people who are so extraordinarily talented. And I just sit there and I'm like, I can't believe it. Like, I just can't believe they can do this. And somehow it fills my body up with joy and energy and inspiration. And I mean, it sounds like such a cliche, but it fills me up. And I find that when I get that way when I watch previews, when I go to a movie, like even if the movie's not great, sit through 20 minutes worth of previews and I'm like, I could just leave now. It just makes me so happy to be in a movie theater. So that's that. The other part that has journeyed longer and harder has been more of my story. So the quick version has been, I was like the good girl. I was the oldest of two. I always got great grades. I was very, I did what I was supposed to. I never got in trouble. And I think I learned early on who I was supposed to be in order to be, to please, in order to get approval, in order to gain access to some version of the love that I wanted. And now this is the story for so many of us. And as it is true for so many of us, those things that helped me survive my childhood, not like I had a terrible traumatic childhood, but, to be cared for and to get the kind of attention and love I wished I had, it meant holding on to certain personality traits that weren't my natural ones. Mm-hmm. But I carried those into adulthood. And those were the things that I thought were the person I was. And it was only when I was in my, I guess it was late 20s, early 30s, that I started doing, I sort of veered off course and started doing personal development work, which I didn't know existed before then. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And did a number of things, you know, working with my first business coach who introduced me to the concept of internal and external work to grow your business. And I did one of these personal development programs where you're starting to question things that you've always taken for granted. I mean, it just like blasted my eyes wide open. And that really altered the course of my life. Mm-hmm. And as I became more and more involved in the coaching universe, I started meeting people, several of whom are going to be part of your summit, who were just, the word that you use is correct. Like, they were beacons. They were living lives of integrity and living lives of passion, and they were handling their fears, and they were moving courageously through lives and becoming vulnerable and becoming who they're supposed to be. And I just sort of like walked along in their wake and learned as much as I could from them. Mm-hmm. And the more I have done that, the more I have shed pieces of me that are not really me, and the more the true me has come out. Mm-hmm. And that person knows that when she embraces joy, when she follows her heart, when she does things in the moment as specific as simply being present with her kids, it's so simple, but that's the real stuff. Like, that's the real joy. And when I do things like work on my book that's for me, as opposed to something I'm doing for a client, like that sources me. Mm-hmm. And it makes everything else better. Mm-hmm. And I can almost laugh at how many times I have had to be reminded of that, because somehow, even though I know it's true, I can fight it. I can say, no, forget, I have to first work on my business or get more clients or do the other stuff before I can go to the movies or write my novel. It's just not true. And yet something like, but the world says. Mm. So that was sort of a roundabout answer to your question of my journey to joy.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks, Jennifer. Because, you know, I think many of the speakers have been sharing some similar thread of really dropping the people pleaser. I think we are so brought up to have to please everybody that along the way we forget to be true to ourselves. But we forget what even pleases us.
Oh, my God. Yes. I mean, I see it in myself, but you know how it's often easier to see it in other people. Right? So the work that I have been doing a lot of with clients over the last few years has been helping them, often women, but not only, navigate into an awareness of what they want. Mm. So many people, and again, I think a lot of women, but it's certainly true for some men too, don't even know what they want. Like, there's such a disconnect, and a lot of people don't feel entitled to want it. Like, I don't deserve it. Who am I to think so big or want so much? Or I already have good things. I shouldn't be selfish and want more. Or I don't think I'll be able to have it. Therefore, I don't want to let myself want it. And so, like, that's a first big bar to cross over, you know, to get to a place where you even give yourself permission to want what you want.
Yeah.
I think that's a big one, because we've been so trained up to either not want or want something that someone else thinks we should want. And yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. And the other thing is interesting, because I think one of the key pieces is in order to declare to yourself and the universe and others what it is that you want, you know, having clear boundaries, saying this works for me and this doesn't work for me, you have to often clear through a lot of the stories that say it's not okay to ask for what you want, because all the things you just said, and you're greedy, you're selfish, or blah, 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 you know, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's amazing how busy those voices are in our head.
I know.
They're busy.
I call them the inner shitty committee.
So my kids can't listen to this interview. No, just kidding.
Yeah. So speaking of that, you know, what being on this journey and encountering these aspects, you know, what zaps your joy?
Okay. Let me give you my list. No, I'm just kidding. my first instinct was to say, you know what? I know it when I feel it. Mm-hmm. Meaning, yes, I can think of a few specific things, but my first thing to say is to learn to trust your gut. Mm. Because it gets more and more subtle the more tuned in you get to your own body, to the point where a friend was describing a project that she wanted someone to take on for her. It sounds like a really interesting project. And I was sort of like looking for maybe a next project that's a little different, a little creative. And she's describing it, and I can see pieces of it that were exciting, but they were clearly pieces of it that my body wanted nothing to do with. Mm. And my rational mind was saying, oh, but it's a good idea, and it could be interesting in this way, and valuable in that way, and it could help her out, and it could be, you know. But every time I tried to make myself think, okay, yes, my body would not let me. So I was like, you know what? When that is happening, if you can learn to trust that, to feel it, first of all, mm-hmm. and to feel safe trusting and say like, okay, you know what? I trust you. The answer is going to be no to this version of it, at least. Mm-hmm. And either then it's just not happening and the universe will bring you something else that's a match, or some other solution will come around. And it takes courage to do that, because sometimes you're like, no, but I want to do that because of the money, or I'll make that person happy, or I have whatever, you have reasons, but that's up here.
Yeah.
And so in your body is a whole different ballgame. And when I did that, this just happened yesterday, today. So when I was able to give myself permission to say, I say no to the thing that doesn't light me up. Mm. And I trust that the thing that lights me up will come. Mm. And what evolved out of that was I mentioned it to my husband, and we realized how so opposite we are in certain ways. I love the big picture and organizing a massive project with so many moving parts. I do not want to touch the details, like organize the things and make the piles. Yeah. He gets so stressed out with the big picture thinking. Like, no, not with a 10-foot pole, but he's like, yeah, put me in a room with like boxes of paper and I will archive the hell out of that stuff. So I was like, maybe we do this together. And so, but only trusting my body let me even open that door. So I thought that was a good sign.
Yeah. So. What a great match. What a great match.
We've been married for 17 years. We're only figuring this out now. it's getting there.
Yeah. But,
I would also say just the things that feel heavy to me tend to be, I love to collaborate with people, and I've also had to learn to trust when it's not a good collaboration, mm. it's not a match, because that saps your energy mm. so badly. Yeah. When I take on a project and I overpromise, bad, bad sapping of energy. Mm. And when I don't take care of myself, which still happens, but when I don't let myself go do the thing that will bring me joy, and when I go too long, this happened to me the other day where it was a full and wonderful day of, I think it was my daughter had a sleepover party for her birthday. She just turned 8. And so there was taking care of that and taking care of like cooking pancakes for everyone and providing gluten-free options for them, you know, like doing all these wonderful things and getting her back to school clothes, like wonderful, blessed things. But I realized at maybe 8 o'clock that night, I'm like, oh my God, I overdid it. Like I didn't have 1 second for myself in this day. And so at the end of a long summer, they hadn't gone back to school yet. And so I could feel that again in my body. And like, I can't let myself do that because then I am not functional and it's not good.
Yeah.
So never giving yourself that space is not a great way to go.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how you're bringing in the awareness of really feeling it in your body, because we're talking about embodying joy and really trusting your body. And I think one of the key things is the more that you choose to really let joy guide you, then you're going to uncover the places in you that have not felt joyful or where you have not allowed it, and to be willing to be with that. Don't you find that it can be really confusing sometimes, though, that you may have something present in your life, and one moment or one day it feels, yeah, I feel really light, and then the next moment or the next day you're like, oh God, it feels really heavy. Same thing, but like, what the F?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say there are a couple of things that I've seen happen in that way. One is, A, our lives change from minute to minute. And, you know, whereas everything was going along great yesterday, and you're like, yeah, this is an awesome idea. The next day, like, your car breaks down, or someone loses a job, or, you know, someone's having a temper tantrum. And the thing that was so exciting for you, you're like, just get me to a place where I can be quiet for 10 minutes. Then nothing's going to make you happy. So that's a circumstantial thing that can go up and down. Mm-hmm. But then there are other things that I've noticed that I tend to get very excited about things. I love ideas. I love hearing other people's ideas. I just love to talk about them and let them explode and become all sorts of different things in my head. And it happens very quickly. And I get very excited because I can actually see it happening. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see way miles down the road. And what used to happen is that I would just have a great idea, let me hit the ground running and go put a lot of time and energy into this, and often sort of peter out, either because I created something, I launched it out into the world with no preparation on the world's part, and I didn't know it was coming. It wasn't on them, I just didn't let anyone know it was coming. And then there would be like crickets, and then I would just so dejected, and like, why did I bother? And then I would go into this low zone, but then like, oh, I have another idea. Finally, I started learning that not all ideas are meant to be acted on by you, right? There's that idea that there's a sort of universal sort of body of ideas, and several people will have the same idea at the same time. And it's not necessarily your idea to act on. Maybe it's yours to hand off to someone, or yours to just be like, yeah, that's a really good idea, I hope someone does it, you know. And what I recognized was that I need to give something a little bit of time before I start implementing. Because, you know, if it's like when you go shopping and you see something that you like, a blouse that you love, and then you're like, I'm not 100% sure that I want to spend the money right now, or, you know, I'm on my way someplace else and I don't have the time, or you're not sure. So you go, okay, I'll think about it. And if I'm still thinking about this blouse tomorrow or in a week, it's mine.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, get ideas now, because they'll come, and I'll notice I now get enough pleasure just from having the idea, imagining, like, seeing it unfold in my head, knowing that it could have an impact and that I could make it happen. That is actually just joy in and of itself. And then let it sit. And then maybe a week later, it's gone. And I don't have that urgency. So I got the joy of experiencing it without having to put in all the work of bringing it to life. Clears the decks for the thing that doesn't go away, because you know that there are those things too. There are the things that stay. I have had one thing in particular, it's been with me for decades now. Like, it is that deeply in me, and I have come back to it and worked on it, and then it lies fallow, and then I come back again. And every time someone asks me what my vision is for my own future, it's the first thing that comes out, and I'm fascinated by this. So there are things that just don't go away.
Yeah.
And the more you surrender to the fact that this is the one, and you need to make space for it in your life. And also, it's okay if it happens, or that it will happen in the time it's meant to happen. Sort of a tricky balance, but yeah.
Yeah, I find that so true. I can totally relate, and I'm sure that many in our audience can too. Having that trusting in divine timing, and I think especially when you're very visionary, and you know, I find it also very easy to gather into the field of infinite potential and pluck out all these delicious, juicy morsels. It's like, oh, but it's but I realized, you know, recently I had an experience of that too, where I realized, wow, when having that beautiful deliciousness come through, it has to marinate, it has to land in my body. And then it awakens this, if it awakens the passion within me, it's like, it really, that creative energy, it's like sourced from my foundation, which I call my foundation. Then it's like those two come together, and then the magic happens. And you can't force it.
Then you're in flow. Then it's happening so much more easily.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very different experience. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure that one of the key things there would be, you know, to really let go of the impatience, because that's another part of surrendering to the trust of divine timing, right? Yeah, so beautiful. All right, so what really sparks your joy?
Movies are always the first thing that I will, that just, I love movies. I love them. I just love them so much.
Oh.
I love
them.
and going to a movie theater, especially by myself in the middle of the day, is a huge, that's a huge, like, front loading the joy with that one.
Mm-hmm.
I also love Vampire Diaries and other great things. I have a broad spectrum of things that light me up. I love young adult novels, so I will happily read forever. I love spending time with my kids, who are now 11 and 8, and being really, really there with them. Like, you know, and that has taken some time for me to figure out how valuable it is and how to do it. Because especially with all the devices in the world and everybody's schedule, like, it really can be so simple. And that just fills me, a little bit of that good quality time fills me up so much and them up. Mm. It brings a calm everywhere that nourishes us. So that's a good one. I love eating. I love eating, especially food that other people have prepared for me. I love being in a space with other people who are revving at the same speed. Mm-hmm. And who are very thoughtful, generous, compassionate people, and very creative ideators. Mm-hmm. And then it's like this crazy boing, boing, boing energy where you're like, you're just zooming and creating together. And it's, that just energizes me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like those.
Yeah. I love that. and by the way,
I was going to add one more thing. My husband taught himself to play guitar. And so he has printed out a bunch of lyrics, so he'll sometimes play and I'll sing, and it just the two of us in our living room, and it's just, it feels really good, you know. And I think for anyone in this audience who knows music, like, that, it really, you feel that in your body too. You feel harmony.
Yeah.
You feel like that's a very special thing.
Yeah, beautiful. Oh, and by the way, you know, because I know that there will be plenty in our, for people in our audience who find themselves challenged by how do you create this quality time, even if it's a short while, with kids. Because so many of the kids, I mean, you go out these days and you see a family sitting there out for dinner and they're all, you know, texting. I mean, how do you, and you know, or at home and finding, I know that one of my clients said to me the other day, she's finding it so challenging to get her child to unplug from the laptop. It's absolutely crazy to be detached from this laptop or the iPad. So what is a tip that you have for that?
Look, I am not an expert in this. I will say the ground rules that you, let me start again. I would start with, what is your vision of what you would like your life to be like? Just even an evening. What would you love an evening to be like? What does it look like? Really visualize it, write it down, imagine it. And from that point, say, so I notice no one is on any devices, even, you know, for this window of time. Like, start small. It might be just from like 7 to 8, or for, you know, whatever it, hour, window, 10 minutes, half an hour. What does it look like? And, you know, what helped us get there? So we have a crazy schedule here because my husband has for a long time worked evening shifts. And so he has not been around for many evenings of my kid's childhood. Mm-hmm. And now that's starting to shift somewhat. And so we literally had dinner, it's called, sitting around the family table, where, like, one of the, like, not few times in our entire lives, but like, it was new for the four of us to sit there, for there to be zero devices. You know, sometimes he would be sitting on the couch with his thing, with his laptop doing, and like, no, this is more important. So it's being very clear on, you know what, I want to experience what it's like when we're all connecting. Mm. And let's just do a practice that for dinner, we're all at the table. And we can't even do that every night yet, but let's try it even on Wednesdays. You know, Wednesdays, no devices, all at dinner, and see what that's like. Because my guess is that when, for most people, when you start to experience it and start to experience, if that feels good, because I guess it won't feel good for everybody, but for the people for whom it feels good,
yeah,
that will lead it, right? That'll lead you to want more. And I think another thing that I've heard, now my kids don't have cell phones yet, and so we're about to embark on that journey. But so one big thing that I've heard is do a contract, a family contract, and you engage the child in creating it. So what is it that you want? How do you want to use the device? What is it that you want beyond the device? And what is it that I as a parent want? And the other parent, if you have two parents at home, you know, and you could create it together, which means the child's much more invested and the child is heard, because the child will have needs and wishes that you don't even know about or understand. So you come up with something together, but you also have your ground rules, like come in the house, it goes in a box, and that box is locked, like literally locked, and no one touches it, but it has to apply to the parents also. Yeah. And I will say, crappy feeling when I know my kids are wanting my attention. I'm like, wait, I just have to do one more email.
Yeah, I love that. That is such a really practical and something, you know, we're having the practical joy experiment, so we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But this is one of those things that maybe if you're watching this and thinking, oh my gosh, I would love to apply this and experiment with this and see how that will transform and bring more joy in our lives. What a wonderful thing to experiment with. I love that.
And again, I'll just emphasize, start small.
Yeah.
Both for yourself, because we've gotten used to the way we live our lives, whatever that looks like. And if it's around technology, we've gotten used to that. And so making a shift, you don't want it to be arduous and something people are fighting. You want to couch it in, hey, let's try something new. Let's listen to an audiobook while we're eating dinner together. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, creating an offering of something new to move towards, as opposed to we're just taking stuff away and shutting stuff down.
Yeah, exactly. Love that. Yeah, so that leads us beautifully into one of your juicy topics, and that is how to craft your life from joy. So do tell.
I will talk first a little bit about how that became the name of my business. So for a long time, I was a professional organizer, not because I was so great at organizing my own stuff, but because I discovered that it was a learnable skill. And I saw the value of bringing that sort of sanity and peace to the chaos and overwhelm of people's lives. I was good at doing it for other people. And I had a very unoriginal name, which was Jay-Z Organizing, which is my initials, and the word organizing, because I needed to open up a business account. And that's as creative as I could be that day. So years into my business, I was working with a client, and I had started working virtually with people. She was one of the first people I worked with virtually. So she was in a completely different part of New York, and where they had trees and houses, which is I live in Manhattan. And but she wanted to organize her office. And so over the phone, we figured out what needed to get done, what was on the list, what was getting in her way, and map out a strategy. And she started taking these steps to declutter. Now, of course, my approach is different than many other organizers, because I'm doing a lot of the internal work, or I was at the time. Mm-hmm. And somehow, whatever we did together empowered her to feel hopeful and motivated and able to move forward in a place that she'd been so stuck for a long time. And so she called me up one day. She said, Jennifer, you have me organizing from a place of joy. And I loved hearing that. She was happy to be organizing, which she never I had my doubts too, but there she was. And that phrase stuck with me. And so a while later, when I was in my first business mastermind that I was attending, I remember getting up, and I knew my business was evolving out of organizing, and that they wanted to also rebrand and rename my business. And I was like, I think it's a place of joy. because whatever I am doing with people, whether it is organizing or building a business or crafting a vision, I think my natural go-to state is to do this from a place of joy, and that they will be able to go so much farther when they are coming from a place of joy. Yeah. And what I found, when I sort of check in with my clients to do, who are my ideal people and what do they think of working with me and what is it they like about it? I'm so often surprised at the answers I get. And one of the things I got most consistently the last time I did this was, you make the hard stuff fun. And so there's something in there about, there's stuff in life that we don't want to do that is difficult, that is painful, and that is scary or boring. and yet we pretty much still have to do them, unless you can delegate. So, but even so, you need to put in the effort of delegating. And so if you can get to a place of, okay, this is what's true. What's true is that this thing needs to get done. These taxes need to get paid, or this laundry needs to get folded and put away, or whatever the thing is that you particularly do not want to be doing. Can you shift the way you are grounding yourself, the way you are approaching it, thinking about it, so that it's possible to be doing that very thing from a place of joy? I remember reading once, what's it called? The Wealthy Spirit, I think, was the name of the book. And she talked about, it's like daily stories and anecdotes about how to create a wealthy spirit and a mindset of abundance and create abundance. One of the many books on that. I actually really, really liked that one. Someone I had been rooming with at a conference left it by accident on her bed. And so I started reading it. I mean, she went home from the conference, so I kept that one, and I just bought her a new one because I really liked it. So in this story, I remember the one she talks about taxes, and she's sitting next to some guy at a dinner event, and the guy's grumbling about taxes. He hates paying them, and why so much money, and then she's like, and it goes to pay for wars, and it goes to pay for blah, 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 blah. And she said, oh, well, my taxes go to pay for arts programs in public schools, and they go to pay for, music and libraries. And he's like, oh my God, how do you get your taxes to pay for all those great things? She's like, it's in my head. Like, that's where my money is going. And so it was a joy for her to pay taxes. So that she knew her money was going someplace wonderful to make the world a better place for people. And so there is something very powerful about, I can choose to feel crappy about this, but if it's still something that I need to do, is there a possibility that I could choose to feel something else?
Yeah, beautiful. So powerful. Yeah, love that. Thanks, Jen. And oh my gosh, we could talk for hours. We're getting towards the end of our time together here. So I've got two more questions for you. Okay. One of them, I'm curious. With everything that you've experienced along the way now, you look back. Is there a time in your life where you wish that you could have experienced or received or known more joy?
Oh my God, always. I mean, sorry, I'll give you a better answer, but I have had really hard stretches in my marriage. I have had really hard stretches in my relationship with one or the other of my parents. I have had fear around money. I've had a lot of stuff that has felt scary and difficult, and where I was crying a lot. I used to cry a lot more, 10 years ago, I would be crying right now. So I have carried a lot of challenge and fear and pain in my life, and as we all have. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that would come up for me over and over again when a coach would speak to me, different coaches, they kept coming back to this idea of, I had trouble receiving. And I'm still working on that. I'm still figuring that out. And my guess is the universe keeps throwing situations at me so that I can practice receiving. I'm getting better at it. I think to me, the most important thing that I would figure out over and over again was, oh, I have to look at what's true. I have to look at what is, because I can escape to la la land where everything's great, or I wish I were better or in another state and farther into the future, but none of that really accomplishes anything practical. So instead, could you feel safe acknowledging, like, this is difficult. I am afraid this is something that I wish were not happening, but it is happening. And what I do this with my clients with their businesses all the time, but I see it in my own life. It brings you back down into your body and really, and that's the only place you can actually deal with it. Otherwise you can't move if you're floating around in the air. But if you've got your feet on the ground and you're willing to say without judgment or shame, but say, this is, suddenly something calms down and you still have to figure out how to handle it, but you're present and you're like showing up in your life and you're saying, okay, now something is possible. And I think that's where you can access the joy.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, so powerful. Thank you for sharing that, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. So you, and wow, how amazing does that tie in with the beautiful gift that you have available, the 10-minute miracle? I mean, wouldn't, isn't that one of those things that you go, oh my gosh, I wish I could have had that back then, you know, but here it is now. So tell us a bit about that.
So the 10-minute miracle is something mm-hmm. that I invented out of sheer desperation, as I invent most of my things. So it was right after my son was born. So he's 11 now. So that was 11 years ago. And I was a first time mom and I was like exhausted and plates, dirty dishes and dirty, like everything was dirty everywhere. And it was too much. And I was like, oh my God, I would need to spend an hour a day just to like make a dent in this. And I can't. I was like, okay, I can't do that. But I can do 10 minutes. I can do 10 minutes. And out of there, I'm not going to go through the whole story. You don't need to hear that right now. But basically, I ended up just saying I'll do the dishes. And when the timer goes off, I stop even if I'm halfway through the dish. And I did it. And I got through the whole sink, actually. And I did a little tidying. I'm like, wow, that was awesome. And I checked the clock. I was like, oh, that was 15 minutes. And I did a double take because it wasn't 15, it was 5.
Oh, wow, five, yeah.
My whole place felt better and I felt better. And I started saying, if I could do that with dishes, where else does this work? And it turns out it works everywhere. Yeah. It works on anything that you're looking to create a shift in or get started on or you feel overwhelmed by, but I can do 10 minutes. But if you're talking about joy and bringing joy into your life, in any number of ways, if that feels like, oh gosh, but I don't have time and I can't book a massage right now and I need to do my work or I have too many responsibilities, whatever it is, you can find 10 minutes, right? Because I bet you're on Facebook for 10 minutes or I bet you're, you know, there's something you're doing for 10 minutes that you can let go so that you can replace it with joy. And it can be less than 10 minutes. So a 10-minute miracle is 10 minutes or less. But it might be, I'm going to polish my nails right now, or I'm going to go take a nap for 10 minutes, or I'm going to go, what I love to do is watch movie previews online. I love Google movie previews, and you just want like a whole slew of them for 10 minutes, then you're, I'm like good to go. So the 10-minute miracle will walk you through actually how to do it, because there's a little more to it than that. It's a little bit more mindset-y, but very, like, people have literally told me that it's changed their lives. So
yeah, beautiful. Well, we'll thank you. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. We'll have the link below the video. And here we, I just love, you've shared so many juicy, delicious nuggets with us here today. I so appreciate you being here, Jennifer. And for our audience, I invite you to come and join our private Facebook group if you haven't already. And to come and participate in a practical joy experiment. This is the thing that really lights me up. We receive so much juiciness from all our joy beacons. Receiving that is one thing. Putting it into action and actually making this a part of your life so you can start seeing results, that is where the magic happens. So we are inviting you to see maybe there's something that Jennifer shared here today, like, oh my God, I am so going to do that. And give yourself permission to take it on as an experiment. Pick an area of your life where you're feeling a little bit of, well, you know, you could definitely crank up the joy volume there. And apply one of these things. Maybe you want to download a 10-minute miracle and start experimenting with that and see what happens. And then being in the group, being able to partner up with others, support each other, cheer each other on. If you run into a glitch, ask for support. So that exactly what you were just sharing there to receive is an art form, you know, and we can support each other with that. Yay! So come join us. And if you enjoyed this interview, enjoyed this conversation and all the other juicy conversations, be sure to share this with your friends and invite them to come and join as well. Oh, so delicious. So, wow, Jennifer, is there anything last minute you would like to share with our audience as we wrap up?
Just, you know, take it easy. Like, this is not, this is the whole point is, let's see how this happens. Let it be fun. Let it be easy and trust your instincts and don't make this something I have to do, but make this something, huh, that'd be funny if I did a 10-minute miracle right now. Let's play with it. Yeah, just enjoy.
Exactly. Love that. Thank you so much. And thank you for being here and sharing your beautiful light and your brilliance and your joy with us. You are amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for creating this and welcoming me. And I really am excited to be part of it.
Yeah, you're so
welcome. What happens with all the people who are playing here.
Yeah, I know. I can hardly wait to see. It's fun. And so here we go. Until we meet again, many joyful blessings and go forth and let joy be your guide to a life that is worth waking up for every day.